Well, boys and girls, good morning once again.
Good morning.
We're starting another week, and it's nice to see nearly everyone on their feet again, even though you're sitting at the moment. Good to see you. As we sang that hymn this morning, years ago it was sort of known as the national anthem of the Free Presbyterian Church. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord or to defend his cause, maintain the honour of his word, the glory of his cross. I thought of the many, many, many times I sang that hymn along with others in the midst of a protest, standing outside some meeting or other in which the errors of ecumenism and modern religion were being set forth. And a number had gathered outside to protest and say that what they were advocating and advancing was wrong. And we weren't ashamed of the gospel, which they were ashamed of because they were trying to change it into something that was more suitable, as far as they were concerned, for them to embrace. And it's a good hymn to start our study today. We're turning, of course, to Luke chapter 23, the verse 43, where we have the Saviour saying unto the thief on the cross. Oh, boys and girls, even as I think of this again, I feel overwhelmed by the thought of how joyfully that man must have heard these words from the Lord Jesus Christ. In the midst of all his troubles, on the very verge of eternity, for he was dying and would soon be dead. What a comfort these words would have been. Jesus said unto him, verily, I say unto thee. I like that. The Saviour would undoubtedly have been looking at him when he said that. He was speaking to him. And the thief would have no doubts that these words are for me. It's a wonderful thing, boys and girls, to hear the voice of God speaking to us, not just the congregation, but to us, and saying such things as this: verily, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That man was told what was going to happen that day. Now, at this moment, you and I don't know what's going to happen this day. There could be surprises ahead for us. But if you're saved, you know that if, as this man's experience was, life was to end for us today, we would be with the Lord. So that man was told how the day was going to end for him. He'd be in heaven. What a thing to be told. What a thing to be told. He was told, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now, every Christian knows, while it may not be today, nevertheless, we will be with the Lord in paradise, in glory. Every Christian knows that. If you're saved today, you can be sure that's where you're going. You're going to be with the Saviour. Well, we've looked basically at a thought that is to be found in these words. And the thought is, in the midst of humiliation and rejection, the Lord Jesus showed his power to save. There he was on the cross, rejected, humiliated, mocked, shamed, but still exercising the power to save sinners. It's the third time we have looked at this particular thought. And this morning there are a number of things I want to advance to you. First of all, it is ever in such circumstances of apparent weakness and shame that the Lord Jesus manifests his power to save. In other words, the Lord Jesus never saved anybody except in similar circumstances to those in which he saved this man. Here he is, rejected, despised, jeered at, mocked, but setting forth his power to save. And it has ever been the case. It has ever been the case. You see, this world has the attitude toward the Saviour that the people gathered round the cross had. They laughed at him. Didn't believe him. And that's how it is today throughout the world. And if a sinner gets saved, he gets saved in the very same atmosphere as this thief was saved. He was saved by a Savior who was mocked. And if you're saved this morning, your salvation came from the hand of one whom the world mocks and laughs. And if you were to tell the world, the Lord Jesus has saved me, they'd laugh. That's why we sang that hymn, I'm not ashamed to own my Lord or to defend his cause. Paul the Apostle, Romans chapter 1 and the verse 16, a very famous verse, one that has featured in many a sermon, many an article, aye, and many a hymn. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, why did he say that? Well, he's making that statement because many were ashamed. Many didn't want to line themselves up or associate themselves with Christ and his gospel. But Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why, Paul? Why are you not ashamed? What do you know about it that others don't seem to know? I'm not ashamed, he says, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek or the Gentile. That's why I'm not ashamed, he said. And if you're saved today, you have experienced the power of God. For it was the power of God that saved you, made you a new creature. That's something the church can't do, a minister can't do, and all your own efforts can't do. And it takes the power of God to make you a new person. Therefore, having experienced this wonderful miracle, we're not ashamed. We join Paul in saying, I'm not ashamed. The thief on the cross said that which was very different from what everyone else was saying. You remember how he rebuked his friend? And he says, dost thou not fear God? There was no fear of God amongst all the jeering crowd round about. They were all laughing and jeering. No fear of God. And when the unrepentant thief, we'll call him, joined in, his friend, the thief who did repent, said, dost thou not fear God? We deserve to die, but this man has done nothing amiss. Then he turned and he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He was saying, I'm not ashamed to be associated with this person. I want to be in his kingdom. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He saw what lay ahead. He saw what the purpose of God was and the place that the one crucified beside him had within that purpose. The Lord Jesus will be king over all this earth one day. He has a kingdom. He has a kingdom. Often in the news today we have stories about the royal family over in London. You know, we have a new king, our old queen, who served the country faithfully for a long, long time. Most of my life I lived under Queen Elizabeth II. And I have to say I admired her to a large degree. But now we have a new king. And his son, Prince William, will one day be king when his father passes on. That is, if the royal family survives. But one day Prince William will be king. He will come into the kingdom. He will be crowned. He will be known, I presume, as King William. If that ever does happen, I hope he's like the King William that we all here in Northern Ireland admire. King Billy, as we know him. Well, the future's not that sure for Prince William, but it's very certain for the Lord Jesus. And that's what the thief said, when thou comest into thy kingdom. He didn't say, if you come into your kingdom, remember me. Should that ever happen, remember me. No, no. When thou comest into thy kingdom. He knew it was certain and sure. He knew it was certain and sure. And that man was saved by one who put forth his power in the midst of mocking and jeering by a crowd that pictured for us the world and its attitude. As far as the unsaved man is concerned, the gospel is something surrounded by shame. Paul, and again I quote him, 1 Corinthians, I quoted to you, Romans 1:16. Well, this is 1 Corinthians 1 and the verse 18. And there he says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The world, it thinks the gospel a foolish thing, a shameful thing, and they don't want anything to do with it. The verse 21 of 1 Corinthians goes on to say, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. The world's wisdom did not lead them to a knowledge of God. However, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. That's what the world thinks of the gospel. Foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. When I say that, there springs to my mind a little incident that happened a long time ago. Back about 1975, that's a while ago, and I was standing in the open air in Enniskillen on my own, preaching at lunchtime, and I was preaching the gospel, and a man went past me, and just as it were out of the side of his mouth, he said, "That's a lot of rubbish." Well, if you ever see me preaching, don't say that, because I immediately stopped, and I said, "That man there!" And everybody in the street stopped. Wonderful how in Ulster the people immediately sense there's a bit of a fight about to start. And they all stopped and looked in the direction I was pointing, and the man was now in a bit of a quandary. I said, "That man there says that what I'm preaching to you is nonsense, and you're not to believe it." And then I went on and I said something else, for he was a very pale-faced man. And I said, "If you look at the colour of his face, he may not have too many more days on this earth. And then he'll know whether or not what I'm saying is right or wrong." And if he was pale beforehand, he was even paler now. Oh, I tell you, the world just mocks the gospel, just laughs at the gospel. It's a thing to be ashamed of. Walk on past the gospel's open-air meeting, have nothing to do with it, laugh and sneer at those who are engaged. But this foolishness is God's way of saving sinners. Now, in order to rightly understand the view that God gave to that thief, we must consider what it was his eyes would have seen, his soul saw beyond what his eyes saw. But what did his eyes see? Well, the first thing, he saw one hanging on the cross, condemned by the highest court in the land, the court of Pilate, the governor. He was condemned by the governor. Oh, the governor was slow to condemn him. In truth, he recognized he shouldn't condemn him. But to please the crowd, he just said, "Take him away and crucify him." So the one who was taken from Pilate's court and brought to the cross and nailed there was one condemned as a criminal. And that's what the crowd round the cross saw. Just a criminal. But that's not what the thief saw. "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." He saw a lord and he saw a king. Oh, that's what the person whose heart has been touched by God and their eyes have been opened sees when they listen to the gospel. They don't see someone to be ashamed of. They see someone to trust in. What did the thief with his eyes see? Someone condemned. Someone rejected by a jeering religious leadership in the land. You had the opinion of the religious leaders expressed there at the cross. What were they saying? They said it very simply in their mocking. "If thou be the Son of God." If. Put a big question over it. And clearly the answer to their own question, as far as they were concerned, was, "He's not the Son of God." Saying he is the Son of God makes him guilty of blasphemy. A lie. A wicked, an awful lie. And he's worthy to die. That was the opinion of the religious leaders in Israel. And here was the thief on the cross who likely was very limited in the spiritual knowledge of what the scriptures taught. He wouldn't have been very skilled. But God opened his eyes and he saw this, what those around, those religious leaders, couldn't see, wouldn't see, didn't see, that this was the Son of God. Fearest thou not God, he said to his companion. You're mocking one who is God. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Rejected by the religious leaders, but despite that, this man believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he did that as a result of God's grace in his heart and soul. Furthermore, he was asking the Lord to save him when the Lord was at the weakest physical point in his life. We read of the Lord Jesus being hungry, and hunger is a form of weakness. Our body is getting weak because it needs food. We saw the Lord, and we saw this yesterday morning in our morning service, we saw the Lord sleeping. His body was tired and weary, and it was seeking to strengthen itself by sleep. That's what we all do. We're all not that long out of bed, and we had to go to bed because we were weak and needed sleep. But never was the Lord so physically weak as on the cross. When they sent him out of Pilate's court, it was traditional for the one who was to be crucified to carry their own cross. It was part of the sufferings they had to bear. But the Lord Jesus was so weak he couldn't carry the cross. And a man of Cyrene was made to carry the cross for him. That's how weak the Saviour was. And he would have been even weaker now on the cross, nailed to it. And yet the thief saw in this person who displayed every sign of physical weakness, he saw the power of God unto salvation. Lord, when I believe you're Lord, even though you're weak and dying beside me, I believe you're Lord and you're King and you have a kingdom and you can save me and take me into that kingdom. Please remember me. Isn't it most remarkable then that this thief was saved by a Savior, surrounded by every form of rejection and humiliation and shame? The last thing I want to say, it is to be noted that this man was saved at a point before the wonderful and miraculous happenings which attended the death of the Lord Jesus. So if you look at verse 44 of the chapter, and it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth, over all the land. I don't think it was a darkness that extended to Ireland. It was just over the land of Israel. A darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. 3 hours of darkness. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts in confusion. The rocks were rent, the graves were opened. Some of the dead came out of the graves and went into Jerusalem. All these things happened when Jesus died on the cross, all indicating what a tremendous thing had just happened. It was the Lamb of God dying for his people. But the thief on the cross had trusted the Lord Jesus before he saw all these miracles. That's the important point. The verse 43 comes before verse 44, doesn't it? So before these miraculous events, this man was saved. The Roman soldier, he saw it and was amazed. He might even have been brought to saving faith. Not everybody is of that opinion, but I actually think he was. The Roman soldier would have heard a lot. He would have heard all the Savior said on the cross. He would have heard this exchange here. He would have heard the thief telling the Lord Jesus that he believed that he was Lord and he was King and he had a kingdom. which one day he would rule over. All this the Roman soldier would have heard, he would have been thinking about it. And then when these miraculous events began to happen, and the graves were opened, he would have been made to realize, I believe, the thief is right. This is the Son of God. And I believe that soldier is in heaven. But the thief was saved, boys and girls, before all these miracles took place. His eyes had been opened by God to see what the crowd couldn't see. His eyes had been opened by God to recognize that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. One question for you, and then we're finished. Do you believe that he is the Son of God? And if you believe that, then you will give to him your love, your obedience. You'll seek to follow him all your days here, and you'll long to join with him in glory. Do you believe? Oh, I trust you do. And if you don't at this moment, will you please, like the thief, turn from the way you have been living and embrace Christ as your Saviour? Let's bow together in prayer. We thank thee, Lord, for thy precious word. We thank thee for the miracles of grace that are recorded in it. Lord, we praise thee that throughout the ages thou hast saved men and women and boys and girls in the midst of a world that has mocked and sneered and despised you. We thank thee for opening our eyes to behold the Lamb of God and know who he is. We thank thee for giving us the grace to believe in the Lord Jesus. My bless the boys and girls, and if there's any here not saved, please, Lord, save them. May they be numbered with the thief, and not numbered with the jeering multitude. Bless the school today. Remember those unable to be in, who are sick, pupils and staff. O God, look kindly upon our school, I pray. Look kindly, Lord, even as you looked upon the thief. Look kindly upon our school, Lord. Bless and strengthen it. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.